Hello everyone, this is Ryan and you are listening to The Vegan Report. Today we are going to talk about veganism and social media. Let me start by saying that I despise social media. I think they do a lot of good, however they are ultimately a force for bad in the world. They make our society unhealthier and more divisive, and you will find that I have no personal presence on social media platforms. But my opinion is certainly not the popular one. Most people wholeheartedly embrace social media, and this is particularly true in the vegan movement. Animal rights organizations tend to be hyperactive on social media, and this is nothing to say of the army of vegan influencers out there. Yet, is it the right way to go? Can't we be just a little critical of this proximity with social media and self-reflect on what it means for veganism on the long term? To discuss this topic, I have with me someone who is not afraid of playing with daring ideas, a public commentator and vegan influencer whose insights and critical thinking I find valuable. You know him as Carnism Debunked. George, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on.
So, George, as an icebreaker question, I wanted to start by asking you, do you find that vegans on social media are representative of the vegan population at large?
Yeah, this is a tough one because I guess it depends where on social media you mean. If you mean the kind of animal rights community on social media, I would say unfortunately not because... Well, most people who identify as vegan, I don't even consider to be vegan, to be honest. If you look at the average man or woman on the street who says, yeah, I'm vegan, you know, scratch beneath the surface and it's, yeah, I'm vegan, you know, I eat honey occasionally and I have a bit of seafood every now and again or something. It's like, okay, yeah, you're not vegan kind of thing. And I think when you're in a lot of these huge Facebook groups and stuff, you see a lot of these kind of like apologists or people who literally don't understand what veganism is. And that's the majority of people identifying as vegan. But if you look at the actual circles that I'm involved in on social media, where we all have mutual friends with each other and we're all going to these events and stuff, the actual activist community, yeah, we're a tight-knit kind of community within the, you know, the whole... sphere of veganism. But to cut a long story short, I guess we're not representative of it if you look at the actual animal rights community on social media.
There is a caricature out there of what a vegan is, and I think social media are doing a great job at portraying that caricature because we have those big vegan influencers who are, I guess, giving a certain reputation of the vegan movement and of vegans in general. What do you think of that phenomenon?
Yeah, it's hard to say because on the one hand, we have got, you know, the kind of hardcore vegan activist influencers. You'll see people like, you know, Tash Peterson, Joey Carbstrong, that vegan teacher and stuff. And that creates an impression in people's head, at least, of the activist vegan. But then the annoying thing, in my view, is that the vast majority of our representation on social media is food pages. And these food pages, no shade on the great food pages out there and all the work that they do, but the majority of these vegan food pages are just run by apologists, the people who are like, live and let live, you do what you want to do, and, you know, I don't care if you murder and abuse animals, you know, I don't, but you can do that if you want, kind of thing. So it's like, it kind of, I would much rather that people actually, if there's going to be a negative stereotype about vegans, I would rather it was the, you know, militant activist kind of stereotype than it was just this kind of weak pushover who says you abuse animals if you want, it's not my prerogative, but you feel free to do it. So I guess it depends where you look, but our social media really is dominated by food pages, and that needs to change.
Do you consider the discussion around health and lifestyle veganism as being true to or useful for the animal rights cause?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So first of all, veganism actually has nothing to do with, you know, health, nutrition, that kind of thing, right? It just means you're someone who believes that animals are not our slaves. You don't see animals as resources. You wish to live free as far as is practicable and possible. A life free of animal exploitation, of animal slavery. So it's a rejection of the use of animals as commodities for us. But at the same time, we have to understand that we get these these arguments all the time about the nutrition of living as a vegan. So these arguments still have a place in that context. If you're a vegan and you don't know how to respond to such arguments, you're not going to represent veganism very well. So it has its place. We do need to be clued up on how to answer these arguments, but at the same time, it's not, you know, what veganism is about. It's not about health. It is about the animals. And the reason for that is there's ways to abuse animals that don't impact your health. So, you know, where there's no way to abuse an animal that doesn't, that doesn't violate veganism in some way. So that would be my answer to that, I guess. Yes.
There's also kind of a cultish character to all of those all of this discourse around health and lifestyle, and I think the fact that it is on social media just amplifies the whole, you know, guru aspect of it. Yeah, you have kind of a cults of personality around that, and when I hear those people speak, I feel like it's less about animals or even about veganism than it is about their personality. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, this is the whole thing of the epidemic of narcissism that has been brought up by social media, and I think the vegan movement has not been spared by that. And many of those vegan influencers are just narcissistic people who are interested by their own ego and their image more than animals or being empathic or following a plant-based diet, and they're ready to abandon veganism if it's not serving their it's not worth it anymore, and people will still continue following them. Yeah, what do you think about that?
You're absolutely right, and you took the words right out of my mouth. Narcissism is one of the things that we're really observing now in vegan circles, with this spate of, you know, ex-vegans that there's been recently. And I think with ex-vegans before, I was kind of clueless as to how this is happening. I was always thinking, well, how could you bear witness to the torture that animals go through and, you know, live the life and stuff, and then one day just turn your back on them again? And now I guess the reason is it's revealing itself, like you say, to be, I think, narcissism. I'm just going to turn my camera off here because it says my signal's pretty bad. So, sorry, there we go. So I think that is a huge pathway to becoming an ex-vegan. And as you say, it does show itself a lot in like these kind of health circles and stuff. And you're right, it's kind of, these people are quote unquote vegan just to make it about them and not about the animals. And they come into veganism as a way to give their lives meaning, or as a way to kind of look down on others, to say like, I'm, you know, that, you know, that I hate this carnist argument, by the way, when carnists say stuff like, you lot just act vegan, you lot are just vegan so you can act superior to others. Now, in mine and your case, that's not true, okay? But because we're in it for the animals. But unfortunately, there is a slight truth to it when it comes to these narcissists who are just imposters in the vegan movement.
I feel the pressure of covering the health and lifestyle aspect. I wanted a podcast dedicated to animal rights, but I see how it's more popular to address the health and lifestyle questions. People don't want to hear about the ethical side of veganism. So I guess it's also a question of where the demand is on in the social media world.
You're right, and I think it trivializes the message when we, you know, if we're talking about a justice movement here, and we're only talking about it in aspects to, you know, oh, you improve your health or something like that. What other justice movement do you think that this would be applicable to? In no other movement would we sell, you know, would we sell the movement based on the benefits to the oppressor? Oh, stop oppressing this group of people and, you know, your health will improve and stuff. And it's like, no, it's about the victims. It can only be about them. And I think it's very misguided and blinkered thinking from vegans when they say stuff like, well, okay, but not everyone's open to the animal rights message, though. Well, okay, but you know, you understand that those people that you convert based on quote-unquote health, they're not going to be in it for the long run anyway, and they're just going to abuse animals whenever the chance is that they get, when they find out that this doesn't impact their health in any way. Or, you know, even on the environmental aspect, you know, if you would just say, well, this... the environmental aspect might be more applicable to someone. Okay, well, the day that the beef industry comes out with these pellets that they feed to cows that eliminates methane from their waste, okay, the person's now eating steak again. So you have to keep it based on the animals, and it undermines the animal. It says that, you know, this idea that we should promote the health and the environment aspects more so than this, or in equal with equal you know, conviction to the ethics stuff. It kind of says that the animal rights message on its own isn't good enough, when it is. That is what has to shape the progress of a society, the moral progress of a society.
I want to say amen to everything you just said. And there's another aspect I always go back to, and it's the fact that most vegans abandon their vegan diet, or at least that's how it appears to be if we look at a study by Funnelytics. Most vegetarians and vegans quit their vegetarianism or veganism after a few months to a few years. And I think this is largely due to the fact that they became vegan or vegetarian for the wrong reason, and that you can't sustain this lifestyle without having a good motivation and convictions behind it.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Well, this is the problem with the sampling. I used to work in market research, so I know quite a bit about this, about how you make one sampling flaw and the whole results of the survey can therefore just be skewed and give a completely different message. If you're including in the vegan population in your survey, in your data, people who literally aren't even vegan, so people who just self-identify as vegan, you will get very... flawed results. You know, if you just say to the average man and the woman on the street, are you vegan? Well, loads of them are going to be like, yeah, I am. Those people are being included in the survey. And yeah, the vast majority of people who say, oh yeah, I'm vegan, they're not going to stick to being vegan. They're not, they weren't, because they're not even vegan to begin with. This is quite a crude analogy that I'm going to make, but this is to do with the problems with self-identification in surveys. So there was a study on penis size years ago, and they found that men in this country's penises were wildly different measurements from what they actually are. And the reason that it came out with those results is because they got the participants to measure it themselves, When the researchers then said, do you know what, this seems strange to us, we're going to measure them, lo and behold, the results were wildly different, and the results were much, much smaller than the initial sample gave. This is kind of what's happening with the ex-vegan supposed dropout rate. If you look at the actual animal rights movement, the actual people who are in it for the animals, the dropout rate is tiny. It's less than 1% for sure. It happens. Unfortunately, it happens. You do get the odd animal rights activist here and there who drops out, and we're still trying to figure out why that is. Well, narcissism, like you mentioned earlier. But the point is, if you take the whole, you know, population of people who identify as vegan, who self-identify as vegan, yeah, the dropout rate is going to be massive, like 84, 90%, right? But if you look at the animal rights movement, it's less than 1%.
That's a really good point you're making. I want to get to an expression that I had in mind when you were talking, which is the vegan community. And we often hear it on social media. You know, we talk about the vegan community. And I don't know, I've been vegan for about 9 years now, and I never felt like I was part of the vegan community. So tell me, am I just too introverted, or is it something that has to do with, you know, is it like a buzzword? Like on Facebook, you have friends, but they're not really your friends. So on social media, you have the vegan community, but it's not really a community.
Yeah, good question. I think we can overuse the term, and in some cases, there is, you know, it's not applicable. Maybe overall, there is no vegan community as there were. But I think you have kind of microcosms of a vegan community, if that makes sense. I would certainly consider myself part of at least a vegan community, in the fact that when I go online, there's all these people I know from social media and see in real life at all these events, and you go on their profile and they have 300 and something mutual friends with you, and then you click on their mutual friends and they've got all these. So we're all interconnected in that way. We know of each other. I mean, that is a community in that sense. But if you talk about vegan communities, this just this giant thing spanning across the world, and people who aren't involved in social media such as yourself, yeah, that's when I guess the term can come a bit like a buzzword, as you say. It's kind of meaningless at that point. But I would consider myself part of a community online. I see these people as like a family of people, if anything, that, you know, I would see them at an event for the first time, and it's like I'm not meeting them for the first time because I've already spoken to them hundreds of times on social media and so on.
Yeah, because as we mentioned, this vegan has become this umbrella term covering so much, and the health and, you know, the narcissism part, it is a big part of it. And I certainly do not feel any sense of community with that crowd. Something that makes a community is cooperation, a sense of wanting to help your fellow person. Do you think that is present in the animal rights movement?
Yeah, I think it is. We do look out for each other. The real ones do look out for each other. There is some toxicity, some infighting that does happen, unfortunately. And sometimes we don't have each other's backs. Sometimes there is some nastiness that goes on. But we do look out for each other, for sure. You know, I've being helping out some people I've never even met recently online with some stuff going on in like their personal lives and stuff, that because stuff that's deeply affecting them. And, you know, I want them to know that I'm here for them, because I see them as my, you know, my brothers and sisters in this fight as animal rights activists. And I think we need to look out for each other.
Maybe where I see the difference is when it's grassroots and popular, it's easier to get that help, that kick in the right direction. But as soon as you are interacting with an organization, I feel like the dynamic changes, and it's not the same anymore. It gets, you know, political in a sense, and you have to go through their own, you know, channels of communication in order to contact them, or you get all of these issues around, you know, do we partner with this person or not? I don't know if I'm, you know, being clear here, but have you had that experience of, you know, interacting with organizations and having a sense of, oh, they're not all about, you know, cooperation and doing, you know, being together, this togetherness, and they have their own agenda and they're pretty clear about it. So have you seen that, or?
I haven't perhaps seen it in the sense that you're talking about, but I've definitely seen organizations pander to certain human socio-political causes that just serve as distractions from the animal rights movement that I think they should not be getting involved in. You would not see a human rights group suddenly stop posting about their human rights work in favor of, you know, animal rights. Like, you wouldn't see, I don't know, like a gay rights organization say, we will stop posting this week in memory of the dogs killed at Yulin Festival, kind of thing. Now, you can be against, they can obviously be against the dogs being murdered at Yulin Festival while focusing on their gay rights work. But they this just wouldn't happen. It's unthinkable that a human rights group would do this. In the animal rights movement, I've seen a lot of disappointing stuff. 2020 was the worst example of this. I was seeing, you know, animal rights groups saying, you know, blackout Tuesday, we will not be posting anything today because of the murder of George Floyd or whatever. And it's like, this BLM are doing this already. Like, what? We've got to be battling against the animal holocaust here, guys. This isn't like the time to be posting about human socio-political issues and saying, you know, you're not welcome in our group if you have this position on X and you're not posting about this human socio-political issue. So I'm definitely seeing, yes, agendas and stuff being pushed by certain animal rights groups from the human rights context, getting involved in things they just shouldn't really be speaking up on, in my opinion. But maybe in the sense that you're talking about, I'm not so sure. The thing is with organizations, it is unfortunately true that they will just do stuff sometimes that we aren't going to agree with or that we're going to think is a bit weird. But this obviously shouldn't undermine the actual, the message behind the overall existence of the group. I think one massive example of this is PETA. We all support PETA's aims in that it wants to end animal oppression, but I think every single person in the animal rights movement would still see at least one PETA campaign as questionable, or think this isn't the right way to go about things, or is this truly effective, or does this look a bit silly? So I think that would just be an example I would use. Like, every single animal rights group's existence and message is what we want, but they are going to run some campaigns from time to time that we just see as, yeah, not for us, or that we don't agree with.
Yeah, PETA is a good example. I knew someone who worked at PETA, and he was not vegan. And that was the first time I thought, okay, that's weird. Why are you working at PETA then? And he was like, well, it's a good job opportunity and it's a good brand to have on your resume. And then I think about the biggest donors of on the board of PETA and things like that. Most of them are not vegans. And so I question if, you know, they're truly, you know, part of the vegan movement, drivers of the vegan movement, are representative of vegans in general.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's very worrying what you've just said, to be honest. I mean, the fact that Peter are taking on staff who aren't even, well, who abuse animals, I mean, that's just a complete violation of the organisation's ethics. And it's particularly worrying because there's loads of vegans out there who want a job working in animal rights and who deserve a job in animal rights, and they're hiring carnists over vegans. I mean, that is extremely worrying if true. So that is absolutely something Peter needs to change from the ground up. They should absolutely remove all non-vegan staff members from their organisation and replace them with vegans. And by the way, I just want to say to anyone listening who says, well, what about if they're vegetarians? Well, vegetarianism is carnism. These people are playing the same role in the animal holocaust as the meat eaters are. They're paying for animals to be gassed, to be stabbed in the throat and stuff once they're of no longer of use for their egg and their milk production or their wool production. So they're playing part in that same abuse.
Do you allow me to get a little bit political here?
Of course.
So I did an episode on conservatives. I invited two conservatives to talk about why they are vegan and identify as conservatives. And I made the post about it, looking for those conservatives on Reddit. And I was just, you know, overwhelmed by the hostility of people toward that initiative. Like I got four versions of the same comments saying that, why not platform Hitler if I was going to platform conservatives? And I realized how much the vegan movement on social media is biased on the left. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, I know you have also noticed that phenomenon. What do you make of it and of what it means for, vegan representation online?
Well, my question to these toxic people who are writing such comments to you, why don't you platform Hitler and so on, stuff like that, is how small do you want the animal rights movement to be? That would be my question to those people, because I think a lot of these people are the very narcissists we're talking about. They just want to use animal rights as some kind of self-gratification thing. They want to build a community of people solely like them for their own human, socio-political goals. And their heart isn't truly in it for the animals. Most reasonable left-wing vegans, and there are plenty, by the way, who see the toxicity of the whole like woke cancel culture stuff that's happened. That, most good left-wing vegans are just embarrassed by this behavior, can I just say. They would see it as absurd that that someone would not want conservative vegans to come onto your show. We want conservative vegan voices. We want socialist vegan voices. We want, Jewish vegan voices, Muslim vegan voices, whatever it is. We want everyone from every kind of ideology on the planet to actually be vegan, because we want everyone to be vegan. We don't just want us to be vegan. This isn't just some, carnist philosophy, personal choice or something like this. No, it's a justice movement that we want to eliminate all animal oppression from the face of the earth. So I think these people are just toxic. And one of the stupidest things, I think, about the idea that veganism is, these people will say it's a left-wing movement and this kind of stuff, that's an insult to the animals. Because 99.99999% of leftists on the face of the earth are not vegan. They're not even vegan. So it's as when you say veganism is a left-wing movement, it would be as ridiculous as, two breakaway Nazis, for example, who said, we are Nazis, but we don't agree with anti-Semitism as such. So we're going to we're going to be against the killing of Jews. And those two breakaway Nazis then going on to say that being against anti-Semitism is a Nazi movement just because a few of them broke away. So what I like to say is veganism is a politically neutral thing. And if you're a left-wing person in the animal rights movement, good for you, but that means you're a breakaway leftist, because the current leftist mantra worldwide is to round up animals and put them in gas chambers. That is the leftist mantra globally. 99% of leftists hold this position on the planet. So when you said, like, imagine what the animals would think if they could understand what these people were saying and say, no, the movement about saving you is a left-wing movement. As leftists continue to herd them into gas chambers, the animals would find this offensive, quite frankly.
That's a very good point. I watched a webinar that was given by the National Lawyers Guild, the New York City chapter, and they were talking about wildlife and about their adventures of trying to get their cause, protection for wildlife, into the political sphere. So getting to influence, you know, politicians of the Biden administration. Those, you know, the liberal ones. And I was just discouraged, just, you know, hearing them talk, like, forget about, you know, liberals or leftists, the leftist population or base. Think about the governments, the leftist governments. They're not your allies. And that webinar just proved how they're hostile to the animal rights cause. And we're not even talking about, you know, factory farming here. We're talking about wildlife, which, you know, should be more acceptable by carnists in general. But no, it's, you know, that government put so many obstacles in the way of those activists, and they did, they had a questionnaire at the end, and most people answered that the Biden administration did not make a good job at, you know, defending wildlife, protecting wildlife. So yeah, you're very right.
And yeah, I think one huge example of this that we saw in the run-up to the 2020 election in the US, you know, the intersectional kind of woke crowd within the vegan spaces, they were kind of bullying other American vegans into voting Biden, and if you vote Trump, you're not a real vegan, and you're this and you're that, and you should be outcast from the vegan movement. Now, I don't care if you vote Biden or Trump, whatever, but do not base it on someone's veganness, because neither are vegan, right? And what was one of Biden's first things to do as soon as he got into office? He donated $1 billion to the US meat industry. That was one of his first acts as president of the United States. So these people had bullied people in to voting him. They'd said, you're not vegan if you're going to vote for Trump. And then Biden just does the most, just pays to have God knows how many animals tortured and abused, like, as soon as he gets in office. Like, this just shows the sheer backwardsness and just entitlement of these people. And there's been no apology for it. You never hear them say, you know, hashtag I messed up kind of thing. It was just, you know, they just act like it didn't happen.
And there is a great argument. I often hear the argument for veganism, you know, on the left. But there's a great argument for veganism on the right, starting with small government. Why are we subsidizing the farm industry? You know, that's a point that those conservatives brought home when I interviewed them. So why are we not doing more outreach to the conservative crowd?
Absolutely. You're 100% right. And this is what I say about veganism. It's actually in line with everyone's principles, no matter which side of the political spectrum, no matter what your kind of philosophy on life is. Everyone believes the things they believe, not necessarily because they're evil or because they're a bigot or whatever it is, but because they believe that's the right things to do. So leftism is about, you know, standing up for the little guy and equality and, you know, being against discrimination. That's perfectly in line with veganism. That's amazing. right-wing people, again, they're against protecting innocent life in the womb. They're against, you know, big government and authoritarianism. They support liberty and freedom. Again, this aligns with vegan values. So it doesn't matter if you're left-wing or right-wing. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, a socialist or a capitalist, or you're pro-life or pro-choice. Whatever your values are, the reason that you have these beliefs, if indeed you have them with good intention, because you believe this is the best way for, because this is what you want for society and for whatever it is, those opinions you hold are perfectly in line with animal rights, with being vegan. And it doesn't matter whether you're left wing or right wing, your ethical framework is consistent with being a vegan.
So I think we did a great job at describing what is veganism on social media, so what it looks like and how it behaves. Now I want to talk about, you know, the effectiveness of the vegan discourse on social media. And let me start with kind of a sensitive question. I joined Instagram when I launched this podcast. Before that, I did not really know what Instagram was about, and I started following animal sanctuaries and also animal rights organizations. And here I am every day looking at my feed, and you have all of those sanctuaries begging for money, mostly run by ordinary people who have a job and who are doing this on their free time and on their dime. And there is a big demand for their presence. They have to refuse so many animals because they don't have enough place or resources to care for them. And they're always begging for money, having a hard time fundraising. And then on the other hand, I see PETA, I see Mercy for Animals, I see the big animal organizations pouring hundreds of thousands, if not millions, on their social media campaigns, on the content they produce. They have also armies of social media people on their payroll. I think the Vegan Society has like 10 people in communication. And I'm always asking myself, you know, is it the right thing to put that money on marketing, on social media stuff, instead of animal sanctuaries and concretely saving lives? Because there is no major study out there proving that social media, the campaigns vegans launch or have launched, have truly made a difference, were worth the money that was spent on them. And I don't see why they have that confidence that they're doing the right thing, and they're willing to go large scale on social media in terms of mobilizing resources. So it's kind of a difficult situation to witness, and I want to have your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so you definitely make a great point about the sanctuaries being underfunded. One thing, though, I definitely think we shouldn't do, and I did a video about this a while back, is we should never take what's called the crabs in a bucket mentality. So we should never say, this group isn't having it, so this group shouldn't have it either, or something like that, which is what I have seen certain vegans do. What the mentality should be instead is we should support sanctuaries, and we should also support these big organizations in getting their content out. As for the studies, yeah, while I'm sure there is no kind of concrete study on whether these so big expensive social media campaigns have changed amounts of people, anecdotally, we do just genuinely see this every day. You know, we look at, I don't know, if you look at like Tash Peterson's stories she uploads, she's constantly getting messages and stuff saying, you know, I came across your video on social media and it's changed my life. Thank you so much. And so we do know for sure that social media does work and change people vegan. And I actually think it's the leading driver of the reason that veganism has exploded this past decade or however long it's been. If it weren't for social media, I wouldn't be vegan myself. I came across Gary Yourofsky's speech while surfing on Facebook in 2012. I was probably eating a bacon sandwich or a pizza or a burger while I was sat there on my computer, and then boom, his speech came up on my newsfeed and I watched it. So I probably wouldn't even be vegan if it weren't for social media. And I actually think that's the case with most vegans, actually. I think we came to it through seeing stuff shared on social media, whether that was a documentary, a speech, whatever it was. So ultimately, the movement needs more money in it. We need it to go to sanctuaries. We need it to go to individual activists so that they can actually leave their jobs and dedicate their full-time career to working in activism. We need it to go to the large organizations. We need it to go to the small organizations. I just wish, you know, we're fighting against a very, very powerful entity here in the animal exploitation enterprise. These are multi-billion, multi-trillion dollar enterprises. We need to have the money at our disposal to fight them. And we need to have the money as well to help these animals at sanctuaries. So, I mean, it sounds idealistic, doesn't it? Yeah, of course we need, you know, money for all. It sounds great, doesn't it? But that is ultimately the deal here. I think we all need funding, wherever we are, whatever we're doing in the animal rights movement.
But let me maybe push a little bit on what you just said. The people who reach out and say, you know, like, thank you, you've changed my life. I decided to, you know, consider going vegan because of what you do and stuff like that. In actuality, there's no way of verifying if what they're saying is true and if, you know, it truly made that impact. And also, would you at least concede that there's too much attention on social media stuff instead of, you know, most people in the world are not on social media, I think. You know, should we not try to reach them, you know, at their church, at their school, and have more of those initiatives instead of having, you know, a more prevalent presence on social media?
Yeah, so here's the thing. When these big animal rights organizations do get a lot of funding and stuff, it is actually put to use on the street. So, for example, you know, Anonymous for the Voiceless or Viva or PETA or Mercy for Animals or whatever. Yeah, a lot of money will go into their social media stuff, but also a lot of that is actually going directly into their street campaigns. So it is happening like that anyway. But you're right. Yeah, we don't know how many people use social media, whether it's most people in the world, whether it's like, I know that like billions of people, there are billions and billions of social media accounts. It's just to what regularity they're being used and how many of these are bot accounts and stuff like that. But absolutely, we need to diversify our approach. We need to be out on the streets. We need to be doing campaigns. We need to be on social media. We need to be everywhere. Carnism infiltrates every single aspect of our society. And with regards to the first point you made, yeah, sure, we don't know, like, we don't have any way of kind of verifying that the person who, you know, Tash Peterson shared to her story is vegan, whatever. But at the same time, we do just know it to be true that people do go vegan as a result of social media. You know, it's not like a theory or something. We just know this to be true because this is what happened to us, to me. I don't know how you came to veganism. To me, it was absolutely through social media. And I think it was for most people that you meet in these vegan circles online, even if it was them hearing about a documentary that changed their life, like Dominion or something like that, they would have heard about that through social media rather even than word of mouth or on TV or whatever.
Well, I'm afraid, you know, I'm just thinking about, are we playing you know, the right game, or are we playing actually the game of the social media platforms? Are we serving the social media platforms more than we are serving the vegan cause? Because another thing about this hyperactivity on social media platforms is, I think we've created a whole anti-vegan movement. I want to have your thoughts on that, but I really think that most anti-vegans online have just smelled the money and the time and the resources and the energy that vegan influencers and organizations have put, and decided to just, you know, surf that wave and attach themselves and create an identity on that. And yeah, I don't think that the anti-vegan crowd would have existed if it was not for the hyperactivity of vegans online on social media platforms. And I feel like this is what the social media platforms want. They want conflict, they want drama, and they're not here to serve our interest. So what do you think of the response to you know, the content people have put out and the reaction to the vegan message online?
Yeah, so I don't doubt that social media exacerbates these things and it creates dramas and conflicts and stuff. However, the sad truth about the human species is an anti-vegan movement absolutely would exist whether or not social media did. And I'll use two historical examples to prove this. One was the ending of black slavery in the United States. There was literally a war over this. This is just how much humans disgust me. People actually fought for the right to keep slaves. So there was this justice movement, the abolitionists, and half of the American population stood up and said, no, we will not have you abolitionists force your lifestyle choices on us. We remain, you know, this is the way of the world. This is the way things are. It's the natural order of things. Blacks are here to serve whites. Do not push your beliefs on us or we will fight you. The other is in the UK with the suffragette movement. When the suffragettes started speaking up for women's rights, you know, there was lots of vitriol towards women as a result of that. And, you know, most men and even a lot of women in society were just like, who are these, you know, hysterical, whiny women and, you know, get back in the kitchen and all this kind of stuff. And a huge, you know, anti-women movement, you know, kind of started as a result of that. So, unfortunately, yeah, while I agree with you that social media absolutely does exacerbate these things and put fuel on the flames, as it were, unfortunately, the bigger the vegan movement grows, the more resistance will grow until maybe even there'll be a war over it or something, unfortunately. But that is where, hopefully, things, you know, technology like lab-grown meat and whatever can actually come in, and hopefully we won't actually have to get to a stage like with the ending of slavery in the US where there was literally a war over it.
Do you believe that at the end, social media platforms have a net positive on the vegan movement?
I do. I definitely do. I completely understand and agree with your reasons for not being on social media. It is a toxic place, and I think you're looking after your own mental health by not being on there. And any activism that you're doing outside of social media, I highly appreciate. But at the same time, I absolutely do think social media has a net positive on veganism, because, as I say, if it weren't for social media, I wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation with you right now. I'd still be abusing animals. I would still be paying for this horrific stuff, and so would so many people I know. And it's through having a platform to speak. You know, they say about social media now, in the digital age, every individual is essentially a celebrity, because you can go online and you can platform your views to hundreds of thousands, millions of people, from your bedroom for doing pretty much nothing, right? So, I mean, look at the fact that both you and I have podcasts, right? I mean, in the, let's say, the 1990s or the 80s, you or I would have to have a radio show, and we would have need to have a job to get that on the radio show and stuff like that. Now you or I can just go online and we can actually just put our views out there to whoever's listening on a podcast. So I think that's very, very powerful. And I think social media has played a huge role in making there a net positive for animals, for sure. Unfortunately, as human population rises, the number of animals killed will rise just naturally in line with the human population. But without social media, I believe the number would be higher than it actually would. Imagine if, you know, it was like China, where they just banned things like Facebook and stuff. I don't think the animal rights movement would have anywhere near as much of a chance when, you know, the only information you're getting about animals is just through a few leaflets or through word of mouth, or from the farming industry. You know, that was how people's impressions of animals were shaped back in the day. It would be the farmer who told you what happens. Now, you or I can go on Facebook or Instagram and we can show people what happens.
We can show, but are we too, not vocal, but maybe too loud about it, to the point that we're just part of the background, that the footage of animals being tortured has become, you know, something people are not really sensitive about anymore because they have seen it so much in their feed. And, you know, they just, because I've heard people, sensitive, smart people say, oh yeah, I know, you know, animal rights and yeah, animals are tortured and all. And for them, there was this banality to the vegan message. And I attribute that 100% to social media. I feel like you said before, your point of before, you know, this veganism has been diminished and to more of a trend. The footage we put out and the message has been diluted because we're so too loud about it.
Yeah, so there is obviously a danger that people can become desensitized to slaughterhouse footage. You're right about that. But here's the thing. Those people who have just watched the slaughterhouse footage and are now just like, meh, I don't really care about it, I don't think those people were going to go vegan anyway. So the point is about sharing these things online. It's not going to get everyone. It's not going to change everyone to go vegan, but it's going to change some people, and that's a start. It's better than nothing. And in any case, there's different forms of activism we can do. We can upload outreach reels of ourselves, you know, just us on the streets talking to people. These we're seeing have results. These are changing people. We can make, you know, written posts. You know, two. I just want to show you, tell you how powerful this is, right? One or two posts that I've just written on Facebook have been shared by mainstream media. They've been like shared by like The Guardian, or shared on like this newspaper article I saw like in Croatia. Just me writing like a post about what's happening to animals and comparing it to our societal kind of speciesism. The fact that I was able to do that, just sit at my computer in my bedroom or something and type that up, and that's gone into mainstream media. I mean, that, and potentially change people. That's incredible. And that was without showing a single piece of slaughterhouse footage. So it's not that slaughterhouse footage online is the be all and end all of it. Yes, it might desensitize some people, but it's also going to change some people. And also, you don't necessarily have to see the slaughterhouse footage to be convinced of the vegan message. I know people who are vegan that have never seen slaughterhouse footage in their life. So, you know, it's different strokes for different folks. We need to try all these different approaches.
I hear you, and I'm getting the message that you think the animal rights movement and veganism as a whole, at least its modern form, you cannot detach it from social media that it is like a limb of this movement now. Am I right on that perception?
Yeah, maybe you are. That's not to say every single activist has to have social media, but I think that there's always something that we can do on social media. And I do think that without it, the animal rights movement would be severely harmed. I think that, you know, we don't really live in the age of word of mouth anymore. Everyone gets their information online now. So I think it's very important that we have a presence online. We have to have a big presence online. People are on YouTube all day. People are on Facebook. People are on Instagram. People are on TikTok, is, you know, is the one that a lot of the kids are on. Without a presence on these platforms, what are these people left watching? It's just going to be pro-meat propaganda. So I would rather, I'm sure you would rather as well, that people go online and instead of seeing the laughing cow cheese advert and the company telling you, buy our delicious laughing cow cheese with the happy cows in the field, they're seeing a vegan meme or something that says, you know, laughing cow, are you sure about that? And a mother cow being tortured and having her baby taken away.
Well, as someone who is not distrustful, very much distrustful of social media platforms, it scares me to hear that the vegan message depends on those platforms and those big companies like Facebook.
Yeah, it's I guess it is just a sign of the times. Ultimately, we're all going to need to use forms of media that we might dislike in some way in order to push the message. I mean, I hate TikTok, for example, but I begrudgingly got a TikTok account a few years back. And hey, one of the videos I made on there got 500,000 views and potentially changed a lot of people. So the point is, we have to use whatever it is. I make the same analogy with money, for example. I know vegans who are against a monetary system at all. So they're not just anti-capitalist. They're literally anti-money. They think money shouldn't exist. But while money does exist, they say, look, this is the world we're in and we need to have money in the animal rights movement. So my analogy would to think of it like money is to someone who's against money. Yes, you might be against money, but you're going to need it in a world that has money. So I'd just say to anyone who is against, you know, like yourself, who finds it rightfully scary that maybe our message absolutely depends on having a presence on these big corporations. Yeah, this is unfortunately the world that we're stuck in. This is the world that we live in. And that's just the system we've got to deal with. I would love to live in a world where we didn't have to push the animal rights message on social media. But that is just the world we are dealt with. And I don't like these companies either, the same as you. I don't like the way that a lot of these companies operate.
Do you feel like the social media world is overcrowded with vegan initiatives and that people should consider more to get out of them or look at what kind of contribution they can make on social media, but through a very critical lens, like what can you add to the conversation actually?
Yeah, I think ultimately that my very simple answer to this would just be to do both. There absolutely are lots of things we can be doing off social media. One thing I would say in social media's defense to such campaigns is it adds weight and validity to our arguments, a bit of credibility, when people see that masses of people support this action. So what these social media campaigns can do is they can, you know, show online all the people who have signed this petition and stuff. Of course, you can do that, you know, off social media as well. You can use good old fashioned pen and paper petitions and stuff like that push to end things. You know, I did a campaign recently like this in Bristol. There's these plans to set up a horrible octopus farm in Spain. And, you know, we got people signing pen and paper on the street to put an end to that. But ultimately, I think social media still plays its role. So yeah, social media, I'm not saying is the be all and end all of everything. I mean, anyone who went vegan before 2004, you know, ergo, they weren't, they, social media played literally no role because it didn't exist back then. But the explosion of vegans that we've seen now is due to social media, I guess. So, I think we can do both, and I definitely respect any work that you're doing off of social media, because that's what I'm doing also. You know, I'm doing activism out on the streets every month and doing stuff that doesn't involve social media. So it's there are so many ways to play our part, and as I say, carnism infiltrates every aspect of our society that there is. So we've got to be versed in using different strategies.
So this podcast is all about actions, and encouraging people to take action. What has been your journey, and why did you decide to be more than a passive vegan?
Yeah, so I first went vegan in 2013. And that was after seeing Gary Yourofsky's speech in late 2012. So the best speech you'll ever hear. And I thought that, I always thought from the start that it would just be absurd to sort of just sit there in silence while the animals scream in pain. I this just seems like a completely absurd view to me. So I'm always wondering why any vegan, so-called vegan, would have the view that we should just sit there in silence as the atrocity continues. Veganism is a justice movement. It's not just some mundane, trivial kind of like dietary preference, or, you know, like your favorite color or something like that, or how you style your hair. Carnism has victims, and we need to actually speak up for these victims. That was why I always had this feeling from the start that we actually need to do something, because if I was in the animal's position, I'd want someone to do something as well. So I guess that's been my story.
And why did you decide to make that contribution on social media? Is it because, you know, you were convinced, like you said before, by something on social media, on YouTube?
Yeah, I think it was just the most practical and easy way to get my message out there to such a large number of people. And, you know, it's paid off. Like, I have like a sizable platform now on social media just from espousing my views on there. All it took was me back in, you know, 2014, 15, whenever it was, just writing these Facebook statuses and setting them on public and having a few friends that I'd never met in the world before across the vegan community, and suddenly your friend list builds up and all this kind of stuff. And from there, you know, suddenly my posts were just being shared all around social media and seeing God knows how many people in the world. This was just a great, great way to get my message out there, using my, you know, my abilities to write arguments clearly and concisely, which is something that I've just been good at. Like, I was I studied English at university, so I'm quite it's just like something that I'm good at, I guess, is formulating. I'm good with words and convincing people through like written argumentation. And this was a very, very effective way to channel my abilities. We should all do activism in a way that we have some kind of talent at. Like, if you're a talented musician, you should make songs about animal rights. If you're a talented artist, you should do animal rights art. If you know how to infiltrate a place, you should you know, go out into the concentration camps and liberate those animals from their oppression. So we all need to play our part in a way that suits our abilities. And I guess when I first became vegan, social media was just a fantastic way for me to get my message out there to huge numbers of people.
And what do you say to vegans who don't correspond to the profile of most vegans we see on social media? Maybe they're conservative and they're afraid of making their voice heard on social media platforms. Because you're someone who dares speaking his mind, whatever the consequences and the response. So what kind of advice would you have to that person?
First thing I'd say to them is, don't worry, I've got your back. So if anyone if anyone out there is afraid of coming on and speaking their mind just because they believe they'll be attacked because they're a conservative, whatever it is, don't worry, there are the vegan movement isn't completely full of like these unreasonable people. There are perfectly reasonable people like myself who will support your content and who'll be there for you if you come under a mob attack. But look, if you want to make changes in the world, it's not going to be comfortable. I think people think that activism is meant to be some kind of easy ride and they're not going to get any resistance. When you're an activist of any kind, you're going to get resistance outside and even inside your own movement. So if you're going to make any kind of positive change in the world at all, you can't go in just expecting that it's going to be an easy ride. So if you're a conservative vegan or whatever it is that you think, oh, I don't know if this is for me because, you know, people might, you know, vegans might turn on me online. Well, okay, I mean, look at the civil rights movement in the US. Even MLK and Malcolm X didn't even like each other. And there was constant war of words, infighting going on there. So don't worry about stuff like infighting and stuff. Don't let that put you off from making your voice heard. If you have the truth, speak it. It needs to be spoken. It's an injustice to remain silent in the face of oppression.
Well said. So, George, did you have anything more to say to add to this conversation before I end the recording?
No, I think that's all good. Thank you so much, Ryan, for having me on the show. And yeah, I really enjoyed the discussion, and I look forward to listening to this as well as your other podcasts. So yeah, thank you for having me on, and yeah, I'll be sharing it to my audience as well.
Well, thank you, George, for having accepted my invitation, and thank you for your work online and offline.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. I kindly invite you to share this podcast with the vegans you know. Let's encourage more people to take action. Again, thank you so much for caring, and I will see you next Tuesday for a new episode.